Well, good morning. Welcome back. We're glad that you're here joining us this morning. Pastor will not be with us this morning. I got a call from him about 10 to 7 this morning. He had just gotten back from being out of town. He drove over 11 hours or about 11 hours to get home, and he was totally wiped out. So he asked that I come and speak this morning. So please pray that God hides me behind the cross this morning and that his will be done today, not mine, not anyone else's. It is pastor's desire that we be back in services on the 21st and observe Father's Day from here and in the building, and I'm looking forward to that, and we hope that you are as well. I know speaking to a lot of people, they're done with all of this. They're done with, they want this all to be over. And we want to get back into our services and get back to our normal lives. So please keep all of the members of our congregation in prayer. Other than the one instance where one of our congregants, their granddaughter, they came in contact with COVID through their granddaughter. That's not the normal case. We haven't heard of any other cases. So praise God. He's been good to this body and he's been faithful to us. And we just want to make sure that we do things according to what God would have. So before we get started, let's have a word of prayer. This morning, we are going to John chapter 3, and we're going to look at just a couple of thoughts on salvation and hopefully give a reason why we are in the situation that we're in. So let's go to God in prayer. Let's give it to him first and foremost and get into our message. Our most gracious and loving Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for everything that you've done for us, Lord. We just ask that you would please be with us today, Lord. Father, there's people out in this world that are hurting. Lord, there's people out in this world that are fed up with a lot of different things. And Lord, everyone's lives matter. Father, we just ask that, Lord, you put your hand on this nation. You tell us in 2 Chronicles 7:14 that if we would just humble ourselves and pray, that you would hear us from heaven. Father, if we would turn from our wicked ways, you would hear us from heaven. Father, I just ask that you would please, please, please just heal this nation. Lord, we ask forgiveness for the leaders of this nation. We ask forgiveness for those that stand in opposition to you in this nation. Father, in this world, there are people that are trying to just take you out of it systematically, Lord. They've just started taking you out. But Father, we know that through you, through Jesus, all things are possible. Father, we don't have to fear what's going on day to day. Because your word says perfect love casts out fear. Father, we don't have to worry about what's going to happen tomorrow. That we need to worry about today, for tomorrow has its own problems. Father, I lift up this one congregant, Lord, that my sister that has come in contact with this COVID-19. Lord, I lift her granddaughter up, who I haven't gotten an update, Lord, but who the last I had heard was in ICU on a ventilator. Lord, I ask that you would touch her. Lord, I ask that you would reveal yourself to her. I don't know what her spiritual status is, Lord, but you do. You know her heart. And I just ask that you would use this to reveal yourself to her and those around her. Father God, I just pray for everybody else in this congregation, Lord, whatever they may be going through, whether they be the elderly, the senior saints, or Lord, whether they be the young people. Father, I just ask that you would give them comfort, give them mercy, Lord, and give them the desires of their hearts so that they can glorify you. Father, I ask that you would hide me behind your cross today. Lord, let it be your words that come out of my mouth, not mine. Let it be your thoughts put on my heart and in my brain. Lord, let it be you that's shown here today and not me. Father, I just ask as we go to John 3 and we learn what someone must do to be saved, Lord, I just ask that you would please just put your hand upon me. Hide me behind your cross. Let it be you, not me. Let me decrease that you may increase. Lord, we ask these things and we pray them for your sake. In Jesus' name, amen. John chapter 3, beginning in verse number 1. There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. Jesus answered and said, Verily, verily, or truly, truly, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. We're going to stop right there for just a moment as we get going on this on our journey today. You see, Nicodemus was a Pharisee. He was a wise man. He was a scholar. He was a scholar by the terms that the Pharisees had put down. He was a learned man. He knew what God's word said. He knew what the scrolls said, and he knew what needed to be done. But something lingered in the back of his mind. What is this salvation that this prophet is talking about? This man called Jesus. Why is he down here? How can he do these miracles? I don't understand. So God has allowed him to have these little questions in the back of his mind and allowed him to seek these questions out and get the answers that he needed. And Jesus came up to him and said, quite simply, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. You see, in today's age, everybody wants to put limits on God. Everybody wants to limit what the Bible says. God's word, if you turn over real quick to 2 Timothy 3:16, 2 Timothy 3:16, we need to understand this is God's word. God wrote this word, and he wrote it for a reason. 2 Timothy 3, verse 16. You know what? We're going to start in verse 15. And that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. You see, Nicodemus knew this from a young age. Most all Jewish people, as children, in the Orthodox religions or in the Orthodox Judaic tradition, they are brought up learning the scrolls. They know about Isaiah. They know who Moses was. They can tell you who Abraham is. They can tell you probably every bit of history you needed to know, they can tell you. But here's reality. They don't understand why. They don't understand that there's more to it than just what the old scriptures were. You see, yes, God gave us the Ten Commandments, the law. He gave us these to show us that we needed something more. He did this to show us that we needed Jesus. We look back into Exodus while the children of Israel are in the wilderness and they are being bitten by snakes. And by poisonous snakes, God had Moses put a brass snake, form a snake out of brass, and put it up on a pole. And that way, if they ever got come across and they got bit by a snake, all they had to do was look up to that pole, look at that snake on the pole, and the venom would come out of them, and they'd be healed. You see, this is a vision of what Jesus had to do. We are bitten by the snake of sin. We are bitten by the serpent, Satan. Satan throws these temptations, and when we give in to them, that poison, the sin that we have been born with, comes to light. It comes out, and we act on it. Now, all we need to do is look towards our saving grace, who is Jesus Christ, that's up on that cross. And we're going to get into this here in just a moment. But verse 16 of chapter 3 of 2 Timothy, all scripture is given by God, and it is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. You see, this word, this Bible, is a living entity. This Bible is the Word of God. Now, Brother Bill, how can that be? How do you know for sure that these are God's words? All right, first off, God cannot lie. Okay, we know that. We're taught this as young people that God cannot lie. So if he cannot lie, it says here, all scripture is given by inspiration of God. God breathed the scriptures into men of God, into holy men of God. And therefore, we have God's word in front of us. You see, these thoughts are put into men's minds, into these holy men's of minds, into their minds by God. They didn't just walk up, sit down at a table, pick up a pen, and start writing. No. They sat there and they prayed upon this, and God told them what to write down. This Bible was put together not by mistake. It wasn't a bunch of people that just threw a bunch of words that some people had said into one place. I'm also going to offer one more thing up here that kind of proves to me why this is God's word, and hopefully it will for you. And that is, in all of history, in all of the literary history of this world, no book has ever been the top seller as long as it's been written. You see, the Bible is still the number one seller of all time. It's sold the most copies throughout the whole world. Now, let's add on to that. In this world today, Jesus is controversy. Everybody's saying that if you love Jesus or you apply the principles that's said in this book to your life, you really hate people. There's a lot of controversy over this book. People say that this is just a testament or an excuse for people to hate on people. You know what? It gives people rights to blow up abortion clinics. You know what? I don't condone blowing up anybody's business. Whether those doctors believe what they're doing is right or do not, you have to look at it in the sense of what God's looking at it. It's not our will. It's by God's will. Understand, Proverbs 16:18 says, Proverbs 16:18 says, pride goeth before destruction, and a haughty spirit before a great fall. You understand? What I'm saying is this. If we boast ourselves and we puff our chests up so much that we know better than God, God turns around and he will not look at us. You see, because God does not like pride. Man's pride is what's keeping him from heaven, and it's man's pride that is causing these problems in the world today. So let's continue on. Nicodemus came to Jesus. He wanted to find out more about why, you know, what must I, you know, why God sent him down here. Nicodemus saith unto him, we just learned in verse number 3, of truly, truly, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus saith unto him, how can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? Verse 5, Jesus answered, verily, verily, or truly, truly, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I said unto thee, ye must be born again. The wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell where it cometh, and whither it goeth. So is everyone that is born of the Spirit. Understand, man is two parts. Man has two parts to him. Number one is the flesh, what everybody sees. Now, when you go to a memorial service or a funeral, you always hear this, that I just lost my train of thought, so it's not important. When you go to a funeral, you always hear that this body's going to go back, dust to ashes to ashes and dust to dust. Here's reality. This body that we live in, this body that we know is our life, starts decaying from the moment we come out of the womb. From the moment that we start our lives after our birth, we are started on that road of decay. Imagine that, a brand new baby coming out of its mother's womb, being born, and you're holding this child. And everybody says the same thing. Oh, what an innocent being. You know what? That innocent being is full of sin. This little innocent creature, I hate to burst someone's bubble and rain on their parade, but here's fact. This little life that you hold starts decaying from the moment it came out. You see, we are born sinners. Romans 5:12 says, wherefore as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin. Therefore, death passed amongst all men. You see, we didn't have a choice. We were born sinners. This is what Jesus is trying to tell Nicodemus. This is our second part. The flesh is dying. This was the consequences when Adam and Eve ate of that tree of the knowledge of good and evil, the tree they were forbidden to eat from. Because when they did that, God warned them that death surely would occur and surely come upon them. You see, we inherited this trait from Adam and Eve. All of us can go back and follow our roots all the way back to Adam and Eve. We came from the same people. And here's reality. When God looks on us, he looks at all of us the same. He looks at us as one of two types of people. One of two types of people. You have those who've accepted Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. Those are the ones that are going to go and spend eternity worshiping and loving with Jesus. They're the ones that are going to be standing on the streets of gold. Gold that is so clear, it's like crystal. They're going to see the pearly gates. They're going to have a mansion built for them, a room built for them in heaven. But then there's the other kind, and those are the kind that refuse Jesus Christ. Those are the kind that just say, I can do it on my own. You see, this person, this type of people are going to end up with eternal separation from God. This is the second death. They're going to end up exactly where their lifestyle and their sins have got them, in a place called hell. You see, I said man is made of two parts. The first part is his flesh. This flesh wears out. This flesh is going to die. This flesh is going to end up going back to the ground and becoming dust again. You see, we were made from dust in the beginning. Remember, in Genesis, it says that God formed Adam from the dust of the earth. And reality is, when this body's done and we die, we're going to become dust again. But then we have our spiritual side. This spiritual side will never die. It's going to live forever. The spiritual side of everybody is the important side. You see, I've heard it said many a time, and this is something that I truly believe. What you see standing in front of you is just a vehicle. It's a transport. This is temporary. Eternity is spiritual. You see, there is life after death on this earth. There's life after this mortal coil is taken away from us. The Bible says in 1 Thessalonians 4 that those who are asleep will rise first and meet God in the air. When Jesus comes out on that cloud, blows the trumpet, and with the voice of the archangel saying, "Come up hither!" Those who knew Christ and went to the grave are asleep right now. Those who have died already that trusted Jesus Christ, their personal Lord and Savior, they are going to raise up out of their graves. Then we which remain alive shall be gathered up together with them in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye. This is what God says. God also says Jesus will come to this earth and touch down on this earth the second time. Trust me. Please trust me on this. If you do not accept Jesus Christ as your personal Savior before you end up in the grave or before He touches down on Mount Zion, you're going to end up spending an eternity in torment. I hear it all the time. No, God is a God of love. He would never do that. I've given to the poor my whole life. I've given this to this church. I'm a member at this church. I do this. I do that. My friend, you cannot make it to heaven on your own works. This is what Jesus is telling Nicodemus. You must be born again. Brother Bill, how do you mean you must be born again? Let's look further. He told Nicodemus, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. Okay? Marvel not, in verse 7, marvel not that I said unto thee, you must be born again. Don't get hung up on that term, born again. Get hung up on the fact that Jesus told Thomas, when Thomas asked him in John 14, he said, "Master, I don't understand where you say you're going away and we can't join you because we don't know where it is. How can we go with you?" John 14, 6, Jesus answered and said, now these are the words of Jesus, just like he's talking to Nicodemus. He told Thomas, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. If ye had known God or known me, ye would have known God also. You see, Jesus is God. There's only one way to get into heaven, and that's through God Himself, through Jesus Christ, His Son, who came onto this earth, died on that cross, and paid the price for our sin. This is what Jesus is talking about, being born again. That which is born of the water, that which is born of flesh, is flesh. We are born of flesh at the time we come out of our mother's wombs. But we're born of the Spirit when we accept the gift of God. Brother Bill, you call it a gift. It is a gift. Romans 6:23 says, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord." You see, God knew that we needed a sin. Back in Genesis 3:15, we learn about the fall from grace. We learn about the fall, not from grace, but the fall of Adam and Eve. You see, way back at the beginning of time, God knew exactly what this world needed and exactly what this thing called mankind would need. He knew that Adam would fail. He knew that Eve would fail. He knew that everybody throughout every generation, the millions of generations throughout this earth, and throughout the thousands of years of world time, that we would fall. He knew that we were all sinners. Now, let's, if you would, let's go back to John 1:1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. You see, we are existent because God made us. We were made in the image of God. But you go down just a little bit further in the verse 14 of number 1, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. You see, Nicodemus was standing before Jesus and getting Jesus to answer his questions. Jesus was telling him, look, I am the way, the truth, and the life. You cannot get to God except through Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is God. How do we know this? Because John 1:1 says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Understand, the Word. This is another name for Jesus Christ in the Bible, the Word. So, with that being said, Nicodemus answered and said unto him in verse 9, how can these things be? And Jesus answered and said unto him, art thou a master of Israel and knowest not these things? Verily, verily, or truly, truly, I say unto thee, we speak that we do know and testify that we have seen, and ye receive not our witness. If I have told you earthly things and you believe not, how shall ye believe if I tell you of heavenly things? You see, Jesus here in verse 12, he's letting people know, he's letting Nicodemus know, and he's letting us know through his word. You know what? Everyone wants a sign. You know, if God would just show me this, do this. You know what? God could give you a sign till you're blue in the face and you still won't believe. That's called pride. It's not an arrogant, a way of arrogance. It's not a way of being ostentatious. Pride means you think you've got the better answer. Pride is you don't need to follow the will of God. I hear it all the time. You know what? If God truly was a God of love, then He wouldn't insist I need to do this. Here, let me give you a difference between a relationship with Jesus Christ, a relationship with God, and religion. In a religion, they want you to do something. Oh, you need to do this. A familiar religion. You need to go and confess your sins to somebody, to a man, another sinner. Here's reality. A sinner cannot forgive a sinner. Here's reality. That man that's absolving you of your sins, if he's a sinner also, then how can he forgive you? You see, the Bible's real clear in the Lord's Prayer, in His model prayer, that we are to forgive those who trespass against us. We should. We need to forgive those trespasses. But we can't absolve, we cannot forgive people their sins like God can. We forgive them, but they're going to go and do this again. And it's funny because we're told forgive and forget. But the human mind doesn't forget. That word forget means quit dwelling on it. It means let it go. Look, what happened in the past in American history, what's happened in the past in world history is just that. It happened in the past. I can't make up for it. I cannot make up for the sins that my ancestors did before me. All I can do is get on my knees before God and ask forgiveness for my sins. What you do is between you and God. About 10 years ago, September, God revealed this to me. He said, Bill, you're a sinner. And he used a men's prayer breakfast to touch my heart that day. You see, the example was, here's a person running around the pews, and he's doing fine all by himself, but what people don't realize is they never look over their shoulder seeing that as we're running this course called life, there's someone right behind us running with us. This is called the devil. This is called Satan. He's running with us. And all he wants to do is he wants to take us and throw something in our path so we'll stumble. You see, that stumbling, if he causes us to stumble, then we may never call upon the Savior to save us. You see, Satan's never changed his lie. It's the same lie he told Eve. It's the same lie he's telling us today. You know what? We can be just like God. We don't have to listen to him. We can be good enough to get ourselves into heaven. And here's the sad part. People listen. Here's the sad part. Listen to the words. People listen to him. Brilliant people. People of stature are listening to the lies Satan is still telling today. It's the same lie. You don't need God. It's the same lie as he told Eve. Eve, if you eat of that fruit, God didn't want you to eat of that tree because he didn't want you to be like him. He didn't want you to know the things that he knows. In Isaiah, we're told his ways are not our ways. His thoughts are not our thoughts. Look, we can never know the mind of God. God's mind is infinite. It's omnipotent. It's omnipresent. This is God. This is Jesus Christ. We can never be good enough to get to heaven. Verse 12, or verse 13. And no man hath ascended up to heaven, but he that came down from heaven, even the Son of Man, which is in heaven. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Brother Bill, why? Why are you saying this today? I'm not saying it, my friends. I'm preaching to you from the Word of God. These are God's words. These are not mine. These are His truths. This isn't my truth. When you get up to heaven, if you were to take your last breath right now, if you were to die, and we're not promised our next breath, if you were to die right now and you come up to those gates of heaven and Peter's standing there and he says, why should I let you in? What are you going to tell him? Well, I gave all this money to the church. I spent every Sunday in all of my life in church. Peter's going to look at you and say, you know, that's great, but it's still not going to get you in here. He's wanting to hear one thing, that you accepted God's gift. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. Listen up, friends. I'm not telling you, and I'm not here to condemning you. Jesus did not come into this world to condemn us. God is not willing that any man should perish. I think every time a man dies on this earth, I think every time he grabs his last breath, and God's given him opportunity after opportunity to accept him, I believe that God sheds a tear because he didn't want that man to perish. Man, woman, child, black, white, red, green, blue, whatever, it doesn't matter. In God's eyes, we are all the same. In God's eyes, we are all sinners. In God's eye, he loved each and every one of us the same enough that he sent his only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, into this world to die for our sins. He sent Jesus Christ to shed his blood. And Jesus Christ at any time could have said, Father, let them perish. What if Jesus would have said that? What if Jesus would have said, Father, I'm done. Man, that scares me. You're saying, Brother Bill, why are you yelling? What are you mad about? I'm upset because the master of darkness is winning in this world right now. I want everybody I know to come to the knowledge of the saving grace of God. I want everybody I know and everybody I don't know to realize, to wake up and say, I get it. Jesus came and died on the cross for me. That's what upsets me, is that people sit there in their arrogance. People sit there in their pride. I don't need God. I'm going to tell you right now, we need God. This country is divided. This country is being destroyed. This world is being destroyed because we are turning our backs on God. People who are claiming to be born again, blood bought, children of God, refuse to bend their knee before the cross of Christ and ask forgiveness for this wicked, wicked nation. You want peace in this nation? Put God back in it. There was a mayor, I read this week, a mayor or governor from, I think it was Texas, maybe Tennessee. He said, if we want peace in this country, then we must be born again. If you want peace, you must be born again. You see, Nicodemus knew it back in his time, and we know it today. You want peace? You want to stop stressing over COVID-19? You want to stop stressing over all this stuff going on these streets? Give it to God. Let God do what God does best, and that's run things. Take your hand out of it, because our hands are imperfect. Verse 18, he that believeth on him is not condemned. But he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. You see, my brothers and sisters, my friends, my family, understand this. If you believe on Jesus Christ, then you're not condemned. If you've accepted Jesus into your heart and your life, you're not condemned. But if you go to your grave not believing and not accepting that gift, then eternal condemnation is yours. For the wages of sin, you earn death. My friend, where are we standing today? Moses asked the children of Israel when he came down off Mount Sinai, and he saw them all reveling, worshiping that golden calf that was made while he was up getting the law. God knew this. He knew what the children of Israel were doing when Moses was up on the mountain with them. Moses came down, and the words he said to the children of Israel is, "Who is on the Lord's side? Let him stand with me." My friend, which side are you on today? Are you on the side that is bound for an eternity of condemnation, an eternity of torment, of the wailing and gnashing of teeth is what the Bible says, where the worm never dies, where the fire is unquenchable? Are you headed to hell today? Or are you going to finally kneel before the foot of Jesus Christ at the foot of the cross and let His blood cover your sins and wash them away? Because my friend, Jesus is the only way, and it's through that cross of Christ that you can get to heaven. You have to go through the cross of Christ. No ifs, ands, or buts. There's no way to sidestep it. The path to heaven, the path to God, the path to glory is through Jesus Christ and His cross. There's no other way. What are you going to do today? Jesus came down and He died on that cross willingly. He took all of our sins upon us. Before we even were born, He knew who we were. And He died for you. He knew you when you were just in your mom's womb. And He knows you now. He's telling you today, my friend, time is running out. Do you know Jesus Christ is your personal Lord and Savior? It's not a religion. I would never force religion on anybody. But I am going to tell you about the relationship I have with Jesus Christ. And it's the best thing I ever did. God has kept me going this whole time. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, that's your message. Lord Jesus, I give this to you right now. Father, I don't know who's going to watch. I don't know who will listen. Lord, you do. Father, you tell us to plant the seed and that you'll take care of the rest. So, Lord, the seed has been planted and I now leave it to you. Lord, someone may be watching that doesn't know you. Jesus, Holy Spirit, touch their heart. Let them come to know you today. And Father, maybe there's someone out there that is going through a tough time. Maybe they've forgotten what it's all about. Maybe it's just so hard that they've started to lose a little bit of faith. Lord, it's through these trials and these tribulations that our faith grows. Lord, I just ask that each member of Lone Mountain Missionary Baptist Church, Father God, I ask that you would help us to remember that you're in control. That there's nothing going on in our lives that you don't know about. And Lord, help us to remember that you have a reason for all of this. Lord, I believe you're trying to wake us up. I believe your time is so close to come and get us home. Father, it's my desire just to go home and spend the rest of eternity worshiping you, Jesus. But Lord, that may not be your will right now. You're tarrying for a reason, and that's to give those last few a chance to come to you. Father God, I pray that you be with Pastor and Sister Lori. God, they are such an inspiration to this church body, and I really would rather him be up here preaching. But Lord, you had a purpose today. I thank you for the opportunity, but Lord, I'm not going to question it. Your will is perfect. Mine is not. God, be with Pastor. Help him get the rest he needs so that we can come back into this church building and we can meet as a congregation again. Be with Sister Lori. And Father, I just ask that you be with each and every member of this congregation. Work in their lives, Lord. Heal them. And finally, Lord, I lift up this land, this nation. Forgive us, Lord. We're an arrogant people. Our nation is prideful. A lot of ways we're saying, God, we don't need you. But Lord, we do. We need you in this country. We need you in our lives. We need you in our schools. We need you in our offices. Lord, touch this country. Forgive us and heal this land, please. And finally, Lord, I just lift up President Trump. Lord, you know what he's facing, and you know what's going on with him. Lord, he's trying to lead this country as the best he can. I pray for all of our leaders, Lord, our congressmen, our senators, our representatives, our mayors, our sheriffs, all those that are placed in authority over us. Lord, I ask that you would guide them. Let them make decisions based on your will, not on theirs. Father, show them where they're lacking, Lord, and help them to get things right. As the elections come up in November, Lord, I ask that you take those who stand against you out of office and replace them with people that are not afraid to put you first. Father, I thank you for our fathers. And I ask you now, just be with us the rest of the week. Please keep our church safe. Please keep everybody that's a member safe. And keep us from harm. Lord, we ask these things in Jesus' name and for Christ's sake we do pray. Amen. All right. So, the 21st is when Pastor is looking to reopen and come have us come back. Please pray about that God will honor that, and that we'll see each other real soon. Until then, we're praying for each and every one of you, and we're just praying that God will keep us healthy and that God will keep us prosperous. Okay? Till we see you next time here at church. Bye-bye.